Thank you, Ted. Let's just pray. Lord, we pray that through these next 20, 25 minutes or so, as people come up and speak, that they will speak your words, seek your wisdom, be prompted by your Holy Spirit. I pray that for myself, and I pray it for everyone else, Lord, so that your words may be spoken to this congregation. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If we could just have the first half of the reading back on the screen. I don't want to steal Andrew's thunder, but if you've read the back of the notice sheet, and you might not have had time to do that yet, Andrew has written about spring harvest, and the defining verse is verse 22, which is the last part of what you can see on the screen there. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Simon Ponsonby made it very clear in the three mornings of Bible teaching that we just need to do it. Just do it. But Andrew will probably be talking a little bit more about that later. But James, Simon Ponsonby told us, is a letter of provocation. It provokes us. It provokes us to action. And that was the message, if you like, of spring harvest this year. But what did God say to us personally? What are our particular memories? What did God speak into the hearts of those of us who went to Minehead this year? And as I said at the beginning, there was stuff going on back here as well. It wasn't just what was going on at Minehead. We'll come to some of that in a moment. But thank you for those that have offered to come forward. And I will actually be reading out. There are quite a lot of people that can't be here this morning. It is being recorded, although the very last part of this 25 minutes will actually not be on the website. You'll see why. But most of this morning will be on the website for those that aren't here to have a listen to. So, starting with me, what did God say to me? Well, I could stand here all day and talk about that, I just thought I'd just pick one thing, and it fits in with somebody that's going to come up in a moment and give some testimony. It was a 30-minute talk one afternoon given by the great R.T. Kendall. I'd never actually heard R.T. Kendall speak before, but I'd heard about him and seen some of his books. I think he's now aged 82 or 83. And he is a great Christian man. His talk was entitled Heart Cry, and his heart cry was this: whatever happened to the gospel? And he was talking about now, in the year 2018, what has happened to the gospel? Why has the gospel message been dumbed down? But about halfway through his talk, R.T. Kendall asked a question of all Christians. He said, "Are you surprised that you are a Christian? Are you surprised that you are a Christian?" And there was a little pause, and then he said, "You should be." We've sung about it this morning. We've sung, "I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean." We should be surprised that we're Christians, because in one sense, we're not worthy, not one single one of us. But another verse that we sang from the same song says that he took my sins and sorrows, and he made them his very own, and bore the burden to Calvary, and suffered and died alone. And the end of R.T. Kendall's talk reminded us that the blood of Jesus satisfied the wrath of God, and we are saved by his grace. Lynn, would you like to come up? Well, while Lynn is coming forward, Lynn is a neighbour of ours who lives just around the lane from us, and she's not going to mind me telling her story, because I asked her just before the service, and I've been asking her at home as well. But Lynn has been dealt a pretty bad hand of cards over the last few years. Lynn had cancer herself. She lost her husband, Stephen, to cancer over 2.5 years ago. And just to put the icing on the cake, a couple of weeks ago, her little friendly dog died too, at a youngish age. Lynn herself has cancer, and it is not being treated. So life has dealt Lynn some pretty hefty blows. Lynn, I wanted to ask you a couple of questions. I think we can talk. Is that one on, Bob? Number two?
Yeah.
Okay. When I came to see you just before we went to Spring Harvest, about 2 weeks ago, what were you saying about faith? What were you saying were the obstacles, if you like?
Well, really, the biggest thing was I envied all of you, your faith, but I just didn't feel that I belonged. And it was a whole question of that, you know, feeling that I didn't belong anywhere, really.
And also maybe that you weren't good enough.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Which
actually sort of relates to that question that R.T. Kendall asked, are you surprised that you're a Christian? Because we think, if we think deeply enough about it, that we're not good enough. Why should God choose me? Why did God choose me? So the next question is, when I came to see you after... We'll both use this one. When I came back from Spring Harvest, last Sunday I came round to see you, and I noticed that there was quite a difference. I don't know whether you can just explain that before we get to Thursday. Last Sunday, do you think you know what I noticed?
No, I don't.
Before Spring Harvest, Lynn was saying that she felt there was a real barrier. There was something in the way. I noticed when I came around and talked to you that you were much less resistant. Although nothing specific had happened then, you were much less resistant. The barriers were coming down. And then can you tell everybody what happened on Thursday?
Well, Thursday, I had a visit from Andrea Pratt, and we had a lovely time together, sat in my garden in the sunshine, and Andrea's been very good to me over the last few months. We've shared sorrows together, and it culminated in asking the Lord Jesus and to come into my life.
And how have you felt since then? If you can say it.
A happy, at peace, a sense of belonging now, and as my good friends within your church have been telling me for a long time, that the Lord does, in fact, love me. So,
well, Lynn, we've got a card for you, which actually tells you that on the front. It tells you how much God loves you, and it's got some verses which Sally wrote inside, and we've got some flowers for you to welcome you into the church.
Thank you.
And. It would be nice if we gave the priestly blessing over Lynn. So we've got it on the screen there, yeah. Andrew.
So we'll pray for you now, and we're going to do this together. All right, this is a prayer which God gave His people to receive blessing from Him. Yeah. Okay, so let's pray for you, Lynn. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His peace. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant. Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. We're just going to just lighten things up a bit. This is some testimonies or some thank yous, really, from some people from Breakfast at Nine who are not, I don't think any of them are in the service here. We want, dear Tim and Sally, we want to say an enormous thank you to you once again, organising a brilliant spring harvest trip. We've loved it. This is Nick and Nay Webb. And they say that, I know that Sarah and Dave White and their girls and his children have also had a brilliant time, and Giles and his children as well. We do appreciate all the effort you've gone to. And then Helen and Glenn, who in fact are here with us. Do you mind if I read this? Thank you for letting us join All Saints this Spring Harvest Week. We have really benefited from the teaching and spending time with Lucy, Berno, Heidi, Lara, Kat, Andy and Adeline. It's a wonderful blessing to spend concentrated time with other Christians and a great encouragement. We hope to spend more time looking at James and learning from his letter. So thank you for that, Helen and Glenn. Debbie Waite came to Spring Harvest with the ladies, and she had a little operation of some sort on Friday morning, so she can't be here, but she wrote this. There are times when I think I have changed and will never feel the same. It happens after a talk in church or a discussion in Andrea and Ted's group. This time it was during Spring Harvest. This is what I now know. I am a child of God. I have a new confidence. We've sung that this morning, haven't we? I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. And she says, it was also wonderful to feel closer to the church family. So that's Debbie. Now, I'm going to hand over to Pauline Werber, whose Spring Harvest was a little bit different than the rest of ours. So over to you, Pauline.
Although Peter was rather reluctant to go to Spring Harvest because he was worried about small practical things like sharing a chalet, when he knew that we would be sharing with Andrea and Ted, some of his concerns were lessened. But I had a strong feeling that God wanted us to be there. As things turned out, and only the Lord knew what was to happen, we couldn't have been in a better place. Our All Saints family were all around us, and amazingly, Debbie, Gillian and Gemma appeared just as Peter was suddenly taken ill, so were able to assist me with him. We had just come from the Encounter meeting, which was an alternative Bible study, and there are just two things I really remember from that time. One was the word yield, and the other was we were asked to identify with one of the Mr. Men characters on the screen. I whispered to Peter, I'm little Miss Happy, and you're Mr. Grumpy. Peter said quite seriously, I'm not grumpy, I'm contented. Before he slipped into unconsciousness, I was able to tell him, I was only teasing you, darling. You're not Mr. Grumpy. You're Mr. Glorious. Prophetic words, perhaps. But the Lord provided me with all the help and loving care I needed. Andrea and Ted supported me back at our chalet. Andrew collected me from Taunton Hospital and missed chunks of Spring Harvest to ferry me back and forth to visit Peter. And Sally came with me as I said my last goodbye before she drove our car back to Swanage. Whilst I stayed with Peter, I talked to him as if he could hear every word. And because the Holy Spirit brought to mind so many scriptures to share with him, I know Peter did receive them in his spirit. On Thursday morning, I finally told Peter not to hold on for my sake, as he wouldn't be able to live a full, healthy life on earth, but that Jesus would be calling him, and as soon as that happened, he should go, should run to him. Annie Douglas, had a picture when she was praying for us at Spring Harvest, that Jesus was standing before Peter, and Peter was running towards him. So I praise the Lord that Peter is with him and now in a far, far better place, and that he didn't suffer. And I praise him for the many kindnesses, practical help, prayers and messages of love I received both at Spring Harvest and since coming home. I'm so grateful that I am a member of this church family. Thank you, everyone.
Follow that. I could stand here and talk an awful lot about Spring Harvest and what the Lord spoke to me. I could tell you about an amazing North Korean lady. I could tell you about the prayer house. I could tell you about the teaching. But actually, the Lord put it on my heart to tell you about the second evening. And in the thing about Spring Harvest is that it's quite big. It's quite big. It's quite busy. And I have learned a bit over the years that rather than run from one thing to the next, I sometimes need to come away and just be still and listen to what God's actually saying to me through that. And the second evening was a busy time. We had a lady African pastor speaking, and she was passionate for the Lord. She was really passionate for the Lord. And one of the first things she said loads of stuff that evening, most of which I probably couldn't tell you, but Tim's got it all written down. And but the thing that really struck me was she said at the beginning, worship from the heart. And I was really challenged by that, because there are times when I don't always do that. So that was a huge challenge to me. And as I was coming out of this quite busy celebration, I just thought, actually, I just want to be quiet. And so I decided to go on to the receiving from the Holy Spirit session, the late night one. And as I walked into this marquee, it was really quiet. There was music playing. And I just went and sat down and let it wash over me. And I thought, I just want to be still and listen to you, Lord. And then there was a call to go up and be prayed for, if you'd like to. Well, about 70 people stood up and went to the front. And I thought, oh, perhaps I'll just sit here. And then after a few more minutes, I thought, no, I will. I'll go and join the back of the queue. And when the lady came and prayed for me, she started praying for me. And then she said, oh, it's for you. And gave me a word and a picture, which was for me. And then she said, this word was given to somebody this afternoon, and they passed it on to me because it was for somebody in this venue tonight. And she said, and it's for you. And I received that, and I went and sat down. And then it dawned on me that with thousands of people at Spring Harvest, thousands of people on that site, the Lord had arranged hours before for that word to be in that venue, and I'd only decided 25 minutes ago that I was going to go. What an amazing Lord we have. Such incredible love.
Okay, so my week was spent with the lovely ladies. I mean, Gillian's here today, but the rest of them, as you know, are different places. But just before I left, this is all about sort of connecting the dots, really. I had this text from my cousin, who unexpectedly turned up in Swanage on the night before we went. She lives in Maidenhead in Berkshire. I wasn't expecting her to come down. I bumped into her on the seafront on an impromptu evening walk I'd taken along the seafront. I wasn't going to do that. I decided 5 minutes before I left. She texted this to me later. So lovely seeing you earlier. What a coincidence. And an awful lot of exclamation marks, because she knew it was a God incidence. It wasn't. Fish and chips were really good. Have a great time at Spring Harvest. I'm sure you will. Take care. Some time for yourself. I think he wants to whisper something to your heart. So I took this. I knew it was going to be a busy week. We were all together in the chalet, and things were very buzzing and busy. But she was right. Simply put, Simon Ponsby was the whisper, especially day one and two for me. It's helped me put scripture references to my heart cry for an important conversation that I need to have really soon. Thank you.
Well, as Pauline said, my spring harvest was a bit different too. Because on Tuesday afternoon, Anne and I were at Dunster Castle, which is National Trust property, and I suddenly started to get all these texts in about Peter, and so of course I went off to the hospital. But something really special happened on the Wednesday, because I went in, I took Pauline in, and then we left about maybe lunchtime, 1-2 o'clock, and Pauline said to me that Peter really loves the music of Johann Sebastian Bach, and he's my favourite composer. She said, could you get some music on your phone, you see? So I dialed up on YouTube, and I got Jesus, You Joy of Man's Desiring, if you know that piece by Johann Sebastian Bach. And so we played it to Peter, and I don't know whether he could hear it or not, but I hope if I'm ever in that situation, somebody will come and play Johann Sebastian Bach in my ear. It would be fantastic. So that was a lovely moment. Just sitting here reminded me of the time, first time I went to Spring Harvest, which was actually 25 years ago. It was in 1993. And I was thinking about being ordained. And I went with a friend of mine, still a good friend of mine, and he said, I had a picture for you. And the picture and a word for you. And the picture was of a game of football. Now, I don't do football really, but the game was going on. And I was on the sidelines. I was watching the game. And the people who were playing were calling me on and saying, come onto the pitch, come and join in. And I had the choice. Did I want to come onto the pitch and join in or not? And there was a sense that you know, I needed to get more kind of stuck into the purposes of God. The game was a picture of God's purposes. I needed to get more stuck into the purposes of God than I had done. And I'd always been a convinced Christian ever since I was saved at university. So for this was like, I don't know, 20 years before, whatever. It wasn't a question of whether I was a Christian or not. It was how committed was I to God's purposes. And the sense was that I had a choice, and this was a crucial moment. And in fact, what happened was, ultimately, that led to me saying, yes, I do want to do what you want in my life, Lord. And I ended up being ordained. And I think, for me, the bits that I was first Spring Harvest, for me too, Simon Ponsonby was a key speaker, really. And James was key, really. And what I come to conclusion back that first Spring Harvest was, sounds a bit crazy, the kingdom of God really is the most important thing. We can say that. And we can kind of believe it intellectually. But there's a difference between that and feeling it with every fiber of your being. That my whole life is about doing God's purposes and cooperating with what he wants in my life. And there's just no option not to do it. If we're going to do all that we do, if our lives are going to mean all they could mean, and we're going to do all that God wants us to do for him. So I've quoted at the back of the back page focus today. But these verses, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but doesn't do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. And, I don't know, just those three words, just do it, really. Just do it. Tim was just saying, he reminded us, well, I wasn't there for Artie Kendall, I was at Taunton Hospital, but Artie Kendall apparently said, are you surprised you're a Christian? And I was so surprised when God saved me. And I remember singing a hymn I'd never heard before, And Can It Be by Charles Wesley. And the third verse of that says, "Amazing love, how can it be? But oh my God, it found out me." And for those of us who know and love Jesus, God's found us. And we just got to do it. Just do it. Okay.
We started with some verse. We started this section with some verses from James chapter 1. And these are nearly the last few verses of the book of James. James 5, verse 13 to 16. Ali Patrick has asked us to pray for Sam. And these words here say, "Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." So why don't we just pray together? The theme of Spring Harvest was only the brave, and I thank God for the bravery of the people who have come up here and spoken for this morning. I thank God for the bravery of the people who have written their testimonies down and asked me to read them out. I pray particularly for Ali Patrick now as she drops Sam off at the airport and travels back on her own. I pray that God will give her strength, give her everything that she needs. And I pray for Sam. We pray together. Can we pray together for Sam that he will go to Portugal and indeed be sorted out? So, Lord, we lift Sam to you. We pray that you will come in power into his life. We pray that you will break every chain and free him so that he can be free and journey in the knowledge that you love him, that you hold him in your arms. So we pray for Sam, we lift him to you, Lord. We thank you for Gemma's obedience in hearing your word and stopping off at Ali's house and persuading Sam and Ali to come to Spring Harvest. We thank you for our new sister, Lynn, who was brave enough to come up here this morning and share her testimony with us. We thank you that she is now a member of our family. We thank you for Pauline's bravery in coming up and speaking about Peter. We thank you for Peter's accomplished life. We pray for Judith Lodge and her family as they prepare for Harry's funeral on Thursday. And we give thanks for Harry, a loyal and faithful servant of this church. We pray for Kate Potter, who's not a member of this church. She's a member of Emmanuel, but she too lost John a couple of weeks ago. So we pray for Kate that you will just comfort her and give her everything that she needs. We pray for Sue Drew, who last attended All Saints Church about 4 years ago on her 90th birthday. She was fairly advanced with dementia at that time. Now she is 94 and is fading away gently. She's not expected to be with us much longer. Father, we thank you for Sue's life of faith and her example, and we pray that Sue's passing will be peaceful and seamless. We pray for Ian and Tessa, who I think are not here this morning, but Ian has battled bravely with cancer, and they're moving, as we heard earlier, on Wednesday. So we give thanks for their faithful service and their ministry here at All Saints over the past, I think it's about 16 years. We pray for them as they move back to Wokingham to be nearer to their family. We pray that God will provide everything that they need for a smooth transition. We pray for Brenda Enticknap and her back pain. And Lord, we just pray that you will touch her with your healing power and make her comfortable. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we pray that through us you will continue to minister to all those for whom we've prayed this morning. We ask in Jesus' precious name that they will know healing and wholeness, the depth of your love and the beauty of your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, we just pray too for all those doing the Alpha course. We pray that they will continue to be hungry, that they will want to find out more about you. And we pray for those who haven't yet come to faith, that they will come to faith through Alpha. And Lord, I just want to pray and give you thanks for the news about North Korea and South Korea wanting to meet. We've prayed already this morning about chains being broken, barriers coming down, and it seems that there could be real breakthrough here. So we just pray for the citizens of North Korea and South Korea and for that possible summit with Donald Trump as well. We just offer you all that this morning, Lord. Lord, in those words of James, you call us not merely to listen to the word, but to do what it says. So as we gather here in the refueling station this morning, we ask simply that we will trust you to give us everything we need to be doers of your word. Help me to journey beyond the familiar and into the unknown. Give me faith to leave old ways and break fresh ground with you. Christ of the mysteries, I trust you to be stronger than each storm within me. I will trust in the darkness and know that my times, even now, are in your hands. Tune my spirit to the music of heaven and somehow make my obedience count for you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing our final hymn. If anything's really touched your heart this morning and you would like somebody to pray with you, there will be a prayer ministry team up here afterwards, or others, people sitting next to you will perhaps pray with you. Don't go away without receiving that ministry.